Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of The Witcher, Chaos on the Pontar, a Let's Play podcast by Elsewhere and Beyond, run using the fabulous Witcher TRPG made by Artalsorian Games. Well, here we are. All of us stood. I feel like I'm there as well. All of us stood on this small little island, this wretched smell of drowner all around you. Gorm, you've just crushed in a skull in the rowboat. You've got cindered and spit-crackling drowner who's been singed on the beach.
It's no bother. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, bits of drowner floating in the water, going out with the tide as the gentle lapping shore comes back in. And guys, you see ahead of you a pile of bodies next to a ruined, old, roofless shack.
Really makes you think about how the world just goes on after we're all drowner gunk.
True that.
I'm going to clean out the boat so we don't harbor any ill intentions from that kind man from the docks. He probably does not want the boat bloodied upon return.
Full of whatever disease these creatures may have.
It's no blood, it's gunk.
And you literally look at Gorm, who has doing the whole Mel Gibson face paint thing right now, but it's just red blood. And it's just one whole side of his face is plastered red. And what you think a quick glance are like sausages on a string is actually the small intestine of one of the drowners over his shoulder.
Okay, we go find dead people now, okay?
Mm-hmm.
He kind of, I think he's still in the boat. So he just kind of hops out of it and starts hopping towards this little pile of corpses.
Earthwind is going to wipe the blood off his silver sword and step off after Gorm.
Well, I imagine that leaves the three of you. Odie, you're going with them, I expect.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, as Vargen stays back and is already turning the boat over to get some of that water into it as he's trying to get some kind of current to wash away all the grime. He'll be at that for a little while. But that's okay, because you've got a task.
How did he get it underneath the seat?
Yes. How is it under here? This is just a drowner foot lodged underneath one of the seats. The three of you march on, off the sand, onto a rise away from the beach. Sporadic tufts of grass add a little greenery here and there. Your gaze is primarily averted to the bodies that have been piled up and left, away from the city, and at that, away from people's care and concern. They're in a pretty bad state. They're torn up, crunched on. A number of them have been entirely dismembered, torsos left to lie like trunks in the pile. Three bodies are fresher. They've been left intact and are entirely whole. One of them is a rather wealthy looking merchant, still got a ring on his finger, wearing kind of suave green suede jacket. The pants are ripped, notched, the boots of good quality. Chain necklace hanging off the body as it lies there. And underneath him, you see an older fellow, rough, rugged, sharing similarities actually to Wildrum. In looks, although the hair is a bit shorter, and has a good 10 more years on him. And the final body, the third one, looks like some kind of sailor. You can see it from the quality of his skin, the clothes he wears. Probably of a good rank, and of course, that familiar sign of his uniform being that of a Nilfgaardian.
Well, Gorm kind of walks up to all these corpses just in the general direction, and he kind of kneels down a little bit, he narrows his eyes, and for a moment maybe it might look like he's actually investigating or something. At least he's trying, but then he just turns his head up towards Oda and Arthur, and he's like, they's dead.
Well, Oda begins to move, actually, and gestures for the Witcher to help her lift the bodies off one another, because she did say, yeah. And kind of like put them out on and put them out on the kind of dead swampy grass here, I imagine.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Pull them out. I mean, the smell is something. Can I actually ask Gorm and Oda, can you go ahead and make me an endurance check right now? Gorm, you roll a 15. That's fairly good. You can just keep the contents of your stomach in.
Oof.
Oh. Well, Oda, you do that horrible thing where someone vomits into their mouth a little bit, but you manage to graciously catch it. You don't swallow it. You can't. You just look away from Arthur for a second. And it's less of a puking, it's more of a spitting the bile out.
Spits it out and kind of like lifts her, you know, hood cloaky thing over her mouth and nose.
Helping her remove the bodies, Arthwin gives her a quick pat on the shoulder just to make sure she's all right.
She nods towards him appreciatively.
Gorm helps move the bodies as well.
You lay them out one beside the other on the flat grass, away from the mangled remains of sheep and livestock that have also been torn there, and the weird drowner bent over with its innards spilled. And there you can get a better look at them. Now, of course, if you want to, some checks would be needed to get more of an idea of what you're looking at. Now, I allow a little more freedom with this kind of thing. If you think there is a skill check that you think best applies to the deduction of a body, whether that's the deduction skill itself, whether it's first aid, or Oda, whether it's maybe rolling the old ways, because you are trained in the ancient medicines and the ancient magics, you might be able to use that to discern a few things. It's up to you guys what you want to do, but the options are available to you.
So, first question for you, these are the only bodies here.
These are the only bodies here that aren't animals or monsters.
Right, and my medallion isn't vibrating or anything? We're good for now?
The medallion is doing nothing.
Right, okay.
I'd needles amidst the corpses, and though I want to roll old ways to try and determine, like, a cause of death.
Through medical means, yeah?
Absolutely. 17.
17's not bad. 17's a very good roll. You start to work through the bodies. Now, for anybody that's not used to this kind of thing, this is Oda reaching into her pouches and packets and pulling out poultices and resting one on the head of one of the corpses. And then she takes a piece of string and she lays it against the arm and counts the motions and turns before eventually she, you know, places two fingers over their eyes, mutters a few words before then lifting a leg. It's like a doctor at work if you were to kind of merge in herbalism and ritualistic magical techniques. Now, which of the bodies did you want to do this to? All of them or just one or two for now?
Let's do merchant and... merchant and sailor.
Both of these bodies were beaten and bruised. You're looking for those same kind of incisions, those cut marks. You don't find them. Their bodies are dehydrated. The bones protruding for the lack of moisture. They have bruises that formed before they died on their faces, on their necks, on their shoulders. The difference between the two bodies is one has a broken neck, the captain, and the merchant has a broken back.
Bruises, you say?
Bruises, swelling, a lot of blood force trauma. No cuts. I mean, a split lip. Maybe a bit of a nick on the ear or under the cheek. But when you look at the drowner, it's
nothing,
not like that.
Not stabbed, nothing. Okay. Mm. Oda relays this information.
Can Arthwin tell what may have left these bruises?
Can you go ahead and roll a deduction check or a first aid check to also make your own examinations?
I'll put a couple luck into that.
Oh,
you have scored a very classy 22. He also sets to work, though he's a little quicker than your methodical approach, Oda. He's been doing this for many, many decades. And he's already got an idea of what's going on before he's knelt beside the bodies. Now, are you looking at all three of them, Arthwin, or are you just focusing on the ones that you've already addressed?
I'm going to go ahead and look at all three.
There's suddenly a noise far away of, ugh! As you hear Vargen, like, scooping out more of the contents from the boat, finding more things that he didn't realize were there.
Oh, is there so much corpse in one body?
And you get your focus back. You tune back into what you're doing. And you look over the bodies. Again, you find no savagery. at least nothing torn or ripped out. No incisions, no cuts, no slices. Apart from the third body, the former owner, his stomach torn out. Lacerations across the shoulder, down across the chest. The face almost completely mutilated, the jaw hanging limp. The only thing recognizable are those eyes and that bushy brown hair and the eyebrows of the man that you'd already met. Similar, related.
Why the difference?
Why they no take ring and treasure gold?
Gorm scratches his belly. It's a very loud sound.
Did you say something about the owner's face?
Being quite smashed in, the jaw being quite damaged, as if a great trauma had moved across his face.
Okay.
Those two, monster. That one, and he points to the one that's mangled, made to look like monster.
You think we've been set up here?
Odom stands up and keeps her eyes on the bodies as if determining something in her mind. Now, which of the three? Witcher, courage, which of the three do you think possesses the most?
First impressions might suggest the sailor, but judging by his appearance, this fellow here, and he points at Vanek, has seen his fair share of conflict as well. It's hard to say.
He working in Lady House very bad. Big courage there.
Odin nods and tries to pull the corpse like under the armpits, a little bit away from the other, like others, like backwards towards over the grass a bit more to isolate it.
I understand. Yes. I think I know what you're doing.
Gorm is kind of leaning over to Arthur and like, what's she doing?
We'll have to wait and see, won't we?
And Oda kneels by the, or sits on her knees by the head of the corpse, man, whatever. Puts three fingers on his forehead and looks towards the sky, begins like muttering very softly to herself.
You hear a voice, and only you hear this voice.
If you do this, child, they will always remember the moment you cross the line.
Are you saying I should not? Perhaps another time?
I'm asking you, my dear, are you ready to trust again?
These people know what I'm capable of. I don't think I will strike fear into them.
And nothing more is said. No further words. You just smell burning, charred, burning, wet fabric in your nose. Only you can smell this. And you hear in the distance a horrific screaming, cinder cracking, smoke. And it passes.
Oda takes a deep breath and opens her eyes and looks towards Gorm. Gorm, would you go and help my father for a moment? I think he might need you.
He in trouble?
Might be.
Oh, no.
Gorm draws his mace and his shield and just starts to waddle away towards the boat.
Gorm, come save you!
Vargen, just real quickly, you've just finished cleaning this boat and he's coming back with bloody weapons just like coming all over to you.
No!
Alright. Alright. So he heads off, leaving just you and Arthwin as the gentle breeze just... swaying your hair in the wind. Arthurin, you loom over as you do, you big, tall sod you. As you stare down at what's happening here.
Yeah, so Arthurin inches closer and says, What are you doing?
We might learn a great deal from trying to speak to this man. And she waits for his first, like, facial reaction or his vocal reaction.
So Arthwin takes a second to register what Oda just said and seems a bit, okay. But then he calculates for a second and he realizes that this is something that Oda might actually be capable of. And he gives her a knowing nod. I think that's a splendid idea.
Yeah.
If you can be sure there won't be consequences.
I hope not, but we might learn a great deal from it. And I think we should take the chance. Life and death is cruel, after all.
Arthwin doesn't know about this sort of magic, but he's... this is something that he doesn't really feel comfortable messing with, but he trusts Oda.
I'm sure you've seen much worse than this. When she places the three fingers again and continues muttering, remembering the smell of fire very vividly.
Okay. She continues muttering, and I would like you to go ahead and roll me the old way.
Yes, I'm going to pour luck into this, by the way.
That's a wise move. You have 3 points left, if I count this correctly. Okay. I'm going to ask you a question. Are you returning life force for a moment, or are you seeking to for an audience?
Okay, I'm going to return him.
To his body.
Yeah. Okay. I just whispered under my breath to Arthwin, be ready.
Arthwin, at those words, just instinctively reaches for a sword just to be ready.
I would like you to go and roll me a d6, please, Oda. And this is how much humanity you will lose.
3.
Okay. Arthwin, you are left now to observe as she places her fingers back upon this man's head, the former owner of the brothel, the brother of Wildrum. She mutters words to herself. She is seeking something in the dark, chasing after something unseen. Arthur, you feel the hairs on your arm and on the back of your neck begin to stand. Icy cold shudders follow a gut-wrenching pull, a sensation of emptiness in the pit of your stomach. The urge to take a step backwards now, away from Oda, is nearly unbearable. Above you, a horrifying crack of thunder. The sky turns grey as clouds now wheel overhead. The air becomes insufferably dense and stuffy. A warm wind blows and circles the pair of you. A second clap of thunder bellows above, this time followed by a flash of light. Oda's eyes are pure white. Her head snaps backwards to look up into the sky. Like a marionette puppet, stiff and strung, her hand suddenly snatches out to the left, catching something unseen, summoned to her, and just in reach. Oda opens her mouth and makes the gesture of placing whatever it is beneath her tongue. Her eyes remain as white as pearls while she leans now over the body, lowering her lips to those of the man and laying a single kiss upon his lips. Dark veins peel back across her skin, starting first at the lips, snaking their way over her cheeks and then over her brow. There is a rush of energy, pulling everything inward, all life, all death, and everything in between. The man gasps, his dead eyes open, his jaw loose and flailing, his body arched and arms scrabbling for Oda's firm grip around him. He starts screaming, a sudden breath finding his withered lungs.
Help me, please help me!
The man is riddled in agony. Oda, you have enslaved his soul in the palm of your hand. What are you going to do?
Oof, I should have thought about this before bringing back a corpse.
Arthwin, though you notice that she's holding her own, there is no denying this eminence of death all around you. This is necromancy in its purest form. Your medallion is vibrating harder than it has in a long time. You notice the branches of this island's only tree are withering away. The grass around the pile of bodies has turned brown, and your own skin begins to drain into like a dull, pale grey. You, the tree, and the grass are all evidently dying. The man continues to flail and convulse, his fear and terror beyond any shadow of a doubt.
Arthwin is going to very quickly draw his sword and point it in the direction of the man. He's not sure that he'll be able to end this if he has to, but he's prepared to try.
Over at the boat, Gorm and Vargin, the atmosphere is unmistakably off. A great spell has been cast. Doom seeps into every morsel of your being. Even the water around the rowboat has turned a dead color of gray, in synergy with the warm and whipping winds and the darkening clouds above.
Okay, can I roll something to understand what's going on?
You can roll... You have a skill for this, don't you? You have like a profession skill that would cover this quite nicely, I believe. Lorekeeper?
Lorekeeper does wilderness survival, monster lore, human perception, plus two, or education.
Yeah, you can roll that. You can roll that for this. And Odor, I'm buying you time to think of what you want to ask here, so... Okay. This is bad. This is necromancy.
Not running. He's going to very briskly walk forward, like chest forward, like very aggressively, almost.
You hop off the boat in such a way. Gorm, can you go ahead and make me an athletics check? He just leaps off the boat. It's like a seesaw effect.
I'm freaking out so hard.
I'm coming to you now, Oda, so you might not have a lot of time to ask your question.
I'm really slow, so you have some time.
You manage to hop off the boat in time as Vargin jumps off. The boat nearly rolls over on the sand, and Vargin starts to menacingly charge up the beach. Arthur, you see Vargin coming, his shoulders just with so much intention, his just like furiousness in his eyes, as you are the only thing between him and Oda. Oda, the scene has to come back to you. You are the focus of this moment. There is a current of air moving around you. The clouds above are starting to turn, and you are starting to feel the presence of multiple other entities around you now. If you do not let go soon, this will be very bad.
Okay. Oda, the corpse guy is grasping at me, right?
Correct.
So she tries to force him down on his chest with her arm. I lean her face with bright white eyes closely to his and just like yells at him, like, who was it? Who did this to you?
him. He did this to me!
Who did this to you? His name. I let go.
You let go, and in that moment, there's a rush of energy as you break the connection. All the other whispering, all of the other entities push away from you once more. The energy in the air settles. You gain back your control. You think you're gonna vomit. Your eyes return their normal pigment. Arthwin, all you still can see is Vargin just charging up that ridge there, up onto this rise.
Gorm is kind of waddling after. He looks very confused. He still has his mace and his shield in his arms. He's no idea what's going on.
Sensing that whatever's been happening is over, Arthwin sheaths his sword and drops to his knee. He puts a hand on Oda's back. Are you all right?
I will be. And Oda begins to close the man's eyes, fold his arms over his chest, kind of like draw a little symbol on his forehead with their fingers, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. You know that you will never be able to return this life to him again. These doors are closed to you now forever.
All right. If he comes through in reach, he is going to very aggressively, frankly, just grab onto the older, like upper arm, and like pull her up to her feet.
Oda, do you resist?
No, I don't resist.
Vargin pulls you up by the arm.
What do you think you're doing?
He says very aggressively, let's go. And he like gets really up in her face, looming over, but he doesn't like touch her anymore. Like, it's very frustrated, aggressive body language.
What do you think I was doing? I did what is necessary.
Necessary? What's the point of having a witch if we can't figure it out? Is it worth it? Look to him. Look what you've done.
He points to the trees, to everything else that's wilted.
And what have you done to yourself?
Ida, gets closer to Vargan's face. I know what I'm doing.
I don't think you do.
And she, tries to shake him off, his grip off.
He doesn't let go. He makes a very clear point that if you ever do this again...
She looks away.
He shakes his head in a very clear threat. And then he lets go, pushing her away as he lets go.
Ida looks over his shoulder. She walks away.
He looks to, the winds in general and shakes his head, apologizing under his breath in his old native tongue.
As Vargan apologizes, the Witcher actually... He doesn't say it, he doesn't even mouth it, but he thinks it. In the exact same moment, he thinks those words too. I'm sorry. As he kneels there in front of this man, and he's just looking at his corpse, contemplating what he saw, and he can't quite make sense of it.
Gorm is still standing there with his mace and his shield, kind of looking towards Oda going away and then back at the others, and just no clue what's going on.
How much longer does the party stay on that island with Oda sat quietly, knees bunched up to her chest in the boat, the rest of you standing around, the evening coming closer?
If 5 minutes go by without anyone saying something, then Vargan would like to do something. Just so people know if they want to do something.
I would like to check the bodies one last time, just make sure they don't have anything on them that might be important for the investigation.
Apart from some jewelry, which you probably wouldn't want to be selling in the town where they used to live. It's up to you, though. Some jewelry, a couple of tattered bits of clothes. These people are in the state you see them as.
Then there's probably not much else I'd like to do. Probably just get back to the boat, get ready to leave.
Gorm goes back to the boat as well. He sits next to Oda. He doesn't really say anything. He knows enough to know that there's something not so well going on, and he just kind of gives her a gentle little pat on the back.
No.
But he doesn't say anything.
Oda just stares off into the waters, and with her knees to her chest, she just whispers, "You're right."
Vargan, you stand there next to the bodies, pacing backwards and forwards a little, musing it, thinking about it, looking at the tree, looking back at the bodies. What are you doing?
His mind is racing. He's trying to make sense. Look, he wasn't there for so much of her life. But what went so terribly wrong that she would resort to such dark magic? It's a perversion of the natural order of things, so... At some level, he probably is just feeling very betrayed where he stands. But more so disappointed that he couldn't keep a promise he kept to his loved one a long time ago. So he stands there frustrated. He can't think straight when he looks back and forth at the thing. He's he almost doesn't even want to try to make the effort.
As you stand there struggling to break this throw that you're in, this backwards and forwards like the rocking of a skeleton ship, this constant. You watch as a raven flies down in the evening sky, swooping, twirling through the air before it lands on the old derelict abandoned shelter. It watches you for a second and then looks down at the corpses. And it's almost as if it's trying to assess your role here or even seek your permission.
He takes a small step backwards, exhaling deeply, thinking back on the crows and importance of them. This might be a sign.
And eventually you look down at the water, and Arthwin, I imagine you and Gorm are starting to get that boat positioned for an easy alighting when the time has come. Oda, you're still sat in there. I'm going to say it for what it is. Gorm and Oda are still sat in there, and Arthwin is somehow moving the boat around and trying to get it ready for seaworthiness. Vargen, I guess after a time, when you see this, I mean...
He'd return to the others.
Arthwin is just about ready to push off. He turns and he sees Vargen approaching, and he decides to leave the honor to him, and he hops onto the bench to take the oars.
No problem, sweat. Push, push, push up.
Gorm will let him row this time.
Yeah, you sit with Oda as he does row and rows and rows. And
as I row, I just keep my eyes fixated on Oda, just assessing how she's doing, how she's feeling, trying to get a sense of what's going on in her head.
When we're about halfway back, Vargen wants to break the silence. What did you learn?
What a good question.
So as Oda seems to hesitate, Arthwin looks over at Vargen and says, "Whatever killed these people is male and perhaps known to the victims."
That narrows it down a little.
A little.
Doctor or big man in sleep house.
Oda just remains quiet.
Just silent rowing of the water.
Yeah.
Gorm just kind of starts like humming a little bit, like.
Like, it's completely tuneless. It follows no melody. Especially not like Bad Romance by Lady Gaga or anything.
The splashing of the oars is more melodic.
As you reach the eastern side of the Oxenfurt docks, you see the sailor tapping his foot impatiently. He reads that awkward, palpable energy and doesn't question the bloodstains in his boat. You all alight, and you make your way back into the city.
The Witcher is going to wordlessly start moving towards the three little bells.
I will return to the boat.
Oda, friend!
And then Gorm just kind of, before Oda leaves, he kind of hops over to her to get her attention. And then from like under his like leather chest piece thing, he pulls out this little bone pendant thing that Oda made for him long ago. And he's like, "Oh, this look after Gorm, this look after you now, okay?" And he kind of pulls it off and he kind of holds it up like trying, he can't really read, so he's just kind of holding it up for her to bend down and put it on.
Oh, I guess Oda gets a very faint smile, leans down, places a hand on his shoulder.
And then he kind of drapes it over her neck or over her head. And it gives you plus one luck, actually.
She brushes her hand over his head for a moment before pushing herself up and moving towards the boat.
But you have a date.
Nah. Rain check.
Well, Gorm lets her head off, and then he heads back to the guys from the bro hug.
Well, so where are you all going? What's your plan? You have paid for a room, might I add. You have already spent 8 crowns on a room.
That is Arthwin's current destination.
We go crack skulls now, okay?
I thought we were coming back to the brothel.
No, that's too dangerous.
Arthwin is in no mood to beat up anybody right now.
And following that thought, that is where we'll bring today's episode to a close. If you're enjoying the show so far, then why not let us know? Check out our website, elsewhereandbeyond.com, or give us a follow on Twitter, at elsewherebeyond. You've been listening to The Witcher, Chaos on the Pontar. And until next time, bye-bye.